Hey, it's 5:05 on Friday, February 3rd, 2023. From the Sourced Podcast Network in New York City, this is your host, Pokey Huang. Stories into this episode come from Katie Craig in San Diego, California, Edwin Kwan in Sydney, Australia, Chase Bannon in Kempil, Pennsylvania, and Olympio Pop in Transylvania, Romania. Let's get to it.
One of Google Fi's main network providers had a data breach that exposed phone numbers, SIM card serial numbers, and information about mobile service plans. Google Fi is Google's only phone and mobile internet service in the United States. This is Katie Craig in San Diego, California. It's the SIM card serial numbers for me. SIM card serial numbers enable attackers to perform SIM swap or jacking attacks, which Google warned this week had occurred for some customers. This comes right when Dark Reading and CrowdStrike report that SIM swap attacks are on the rise by advanced persistent threats, or APTs, which basically mean nation-states like China, North Korea, and Iran. With knowledge of the SIM card serial number and other account details, attackers can do all sorts of bad things by intercepting your cell phone's multi-factor authentication. With the growth of 5G and the Internet of Things, the problem of SIM jacking is only going to get worse as more of our devices join the network. The only thing I can suggest is to not use your cell phone for MFA. Invest instead in phishing-resistant hardware tokens like a YubiKey. That way, the second factor is harder for the bad guys to get at. This is Katie Craig. Stay safe out there.
This is Edwin Kwan from Sydney, Australia. The government of Western Australia recently announced that the number of reported scam losses hit a record high in 2022. There were around 1,203 people losing a total of around $16 million. This represented a 7% increase on 2021's losses. Almost half of those scams were for online shopping or trading scams, with people chasing high investment returns or looking for love having lost the most money. There were also an increase in high mom or high dad scams, where criminals masqueraded as the victim's children who are in need of urgent funds. It is believed that only about 13% of scam losses are reported to authorities, indicating that these figures are only the tip of the iceberg.
Microsoft has a global network of security experts collectively called Microsoft Security Intelligence. Consider that Microsoft processes 24 trillion signals every 24 hours. They have a broad global view and frequently alert the public using Twitter and other online platforms. One of the key areas they've been monitoring is the ransomware ecosystem. Hello, this is Trace Bannon reporting from Kempil, Pennsylvania. As of the end of 2022, Microsoft was tracking over 50 unique active ransomware families and over 100 threat actors using ransomware in attacks. This includes Creative RAS and MAS, that's ransomware as a service and malware as a service. This was reported on in episode 18. The ransomware ecosystem is diversifying. For example, newly patched vulnerabilities in Exchange servers are being used to deploy Play and Kuba ransomware. The culprits in this case have rather lackluster identifiers, simply threat actor Dev0882 and Dev0671. Other well-known nefarious payloads include Lockbit Black, Black Cat, Vice Society, and Royal. In addition to alerting the public on new attack vectors, Microsoft is doubling down on its defensive advice. We should, quote, focus less on the payloads and more on the chain of activities that lead to their deployment, end quote. The truth is that even with the surge in hacking and the evolution of ransomware, the attacks continue to rely on common security weaknesses that allow them to succeed. Head over to 505updates.com for today's resources and subscribe on your favorite podcast for continued updates. Something to noodle on.
With the Cybersecurity Act establishing a new permanent mandate and giving an extended role to ENISA, the EU entered a new era of cybersecurity policy. Since then, several new EU legislative initiatives have emerged together with the Network and Information Security Directive, NIS2. NIS2 was voted in November and entered into force on January 16, with the European Commission having until October 2024 to adopt implementation acts. As a follow-up, ENISA organized the inaugural Cybersecurity Policy Conference with the intent of addressing the challenges in implementing the new provisions of the NIS2 across the EU. During the conference held in Brussels, expert panels focused on key aspects: the challenges of implementing the directive on a national level to all 28 countries. How will vulnerabilities be handled in the frame of the new Coordinated Vulnerability Disclosure Program? The importance of harmonized standards in light of the Cyber Resilience Act. According to Despina Spano, head of the cabinet of the Vice President Chinas, cybersecurity skills will be the engine we need to achieve this high level of cybersecurity across Europe. This is why we will present soon an EU Cyber Skills Academy with the aim of increasing the number of professionals training in cybersecurity and thus strengthening the EU's security capacity and defense. All these are coming in a broader scope of an ever-increasing cyber attack risk, mainly triggered as retaliation to the support many of the European countries offered Ukraine. This was Olympiu Pop reporting from Transylvania, Romania. The full episode and resources can be found on 505updates.com. Have a nice weekend.
That's it for today's open source and cybersecurity updates. For direct links to all stories and resources mentioned in today's episode, go to 505updates.com, where you can listen to our growing library of over 70 episodes. You can also download the transcript of all episodes for easy reference. 505 is a Sourced Networks production, with updates available Monday through Friday on your favorite audio streaming platform. Just search for It's 505, and please consider subscribing while you're there. Thank you to Katie Craig, Edwin Kwan, Chase Bannon, and Olympio Pop for today's contributions. The executive producer is Mark Miller. The editor and the sound engineer is Pokey Huan. Music for today's episode is by Blue Dot Sessions. We use this script for spoken text editing and Audacity to layer in the soundscapes. The show distribution platform is provided by Captivate.fm. This is Pokey Huan. See you next Monday at 5:05.